Hi guys, it's Carl here from CaminoWays.com, and today we are delighted to welcome a special guest onto the podcast. Freddie joins us from the Confraternity of St. James in London, a non-profit organisation that has been helping British pilgrims take on the Camino since 1983. Today, they have amassed around 2,000 members, and they continue to grow with the popularity of the trail. We had a great chat about the Camino, and I really hope you enjoy it. So, Freddie, how are you today?
I'm very well, thank you. Yeah, I'm good.
Excellent, excellent. So you're joining us from the Confraternity of St. James.
Yes.
For anybody who hasn't heard about the Confraternity before, can you just tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do?
Yeah. So we are a small charity based in London, and we essentially just provide information services and reassurance and confidence to anybody who is looking to walk, cycle or ride on any of the various pilgrim routes to Santiago de Compostela. And we do this in a number of ways. We're largely volunteers, but we have an international membership of about 1,700 people. We write guidebooks to the various routes for walkers and cyclists, and we try and update those as often as possible. We make those available to people looking for information. We hold events, so preparatory events for people looking to go away, kind of packing tips and advice and things. We hold open days and practical pilgrim days, things like that. But we also hold events for people that have come back and kind of want to talk about it and reflect about it and learn more about the Camino as well. We actually run two pilgrim hostels out in Spain, one on the Camino Frances in a place called Rabanal. We have a hostel there that's been there for 26-27 years, something like that. And then we have another hostel on the Camino del Norte in Miraz in Galicia. So we kind of man those, and we train our members who volunteer to go out there and sort of run the hostels for 2 weeks at a time, and look after the pilgrims on the Camino itself.
God, you guys seem to have your hands full. You're kind of covering every single base of the Camino there. From advice to people before they travel, after they come back, all the way to giving them a bed to sleep in at night.
Yeah, exactly. Sort of from day one to however long they want to keep it in their lives for. Because we sort of appreciate that people go on the Camino and they come back from the Camino and they kind of want to keep that experience part of their life still. So we try and offer ways of doing that, basically. We sort of try and give them ways of giving something back to their experience on the Camino, or just sort of keeping it part of their life, because so often people go away and have such treasured memories and experiences, and we call it the post-Camino syndrome, when people sort of come back and they feel a bit deflated and they've had this wonderful time and they've got all this new insight and perspective and they've made all these new friends and been in touch with such a lovely community, and they come back to their everyday lives and sort of resume normal life, and it's a bit of a downer. So we try and sort of offer ways of keeping it part of their everyday lives.
That's a really excellent fact. That we actually host a St. James's Day event here in our office in Dublin every year. Each year we have something a little bit different going on, always Camino themed. We've always got some Albarino and some free tapas on hand for anybody who's turning up.
It's a necessary thing, I think, yeah.
It certainly gets the conversation flowing. But this year we decided to do a Camino storytelling event, which went really, really well. So we had people submit their stories to us. We got a huge influx of stories from a very international audience. So we did have to read some out ourselves on the night. But some of the authors actually came in and read their stories. And I think it's one of these things, when you come back from the Camino, you can talk to your work colleagues and your family about it till you're blue in the face. But if they haven't done it themselves, they tend to not really understand in the same way.
Completely, yeah. You can't really, when you've had that sort of experience, and it is quite a unique experience. Often it's an experience that none of these people have experienced elsewhere in their lives ever. And yeah, trying to explain it to someone that doesn't know and hasn't had the same experience is like talking to a brick wall. They go, oh, that's nice. But they just sort of, they don't have that that empathy and that connection to it that you have. So yeah, that's why we hold events. We do similar things to that as well. We get people in to talk to each other. Like, we have wine bar evenings every month where people can literally just turn up to a wine bar in London, and it's just kind of for people to chat about the Camino, whether that's to ask questions or answer questions or just to reminisce. Yeah, you're right. They find that, I feel like returned pilgrims find that really therapeutic and cathartic to just sort of chat about it with a person that knows, that understands. It's a lovely thing to sort of witness.
Absolutely. So just getting back to the confraternity, and we'll talk about the various little bits and pieces that you do, if you don't mind, in a few minutes. But what would you say is the main aim of the confraternity? Do you guys have an ethos or a mission statement that kind of it could explain it very briefly what you're trying to accomplish?
Yeah, well, the overarching aim is just to support pilgrims and to promote all the different Camino routes to Santiago, and to provide confidence and reassurance and self-belief to anyone, irrespective of motivation or background. We kind of want to make the Camino accessible to everybody and bring it to as wide an audience as possible. So no matter what your reasons are for doing it, no matter if you want to go because you enjoy the physical challenge, because you're a hiker or something, or a cyclist, or if you want to go because you feel like you have some kind of inner journey that you need to go on, or some kind of thing that you need to deal with that you can't really deal with in the busyness of your everyday life. No matter what your reasons are, we want to help you and provide you with all the information, all the tools that you need in order to go and make your own Camino and have the best time and get the most out of it.
Oh, that's very interesting that you've brought up the aspect of what people's motivation is to do the actual Camino. Now, most people will know that it started as a Catholic pilgrimage. But yes. I think that at the moment it's really starting to, or it has been changing over the last number of years. And do you find that you have quite a diverse audience of people who you're catering for now in terms of their motivation? Has it changed in the time that you've been involved with the confraternity?
Yeah, it's becoming a lot more diverse. You're right. It's sort of as people are becoming, as it's become more of a household term and it's getting a bit more publicity and more people are hearing about it. So it's already getting a wider audience of people who are interested in the idea of it, not necessarily just from a religious perspective. And in fact, most of the people that we get coming to us and going on Camino are doing it for spiritual as opposed to religious reasons, which means that they're open to the idea of going on an inner journey or sort of going for personal and meditative reasons, and are looking for a sense of healing and a sense of perspective and a sense of space that they don't get in their everyday lives. That sort of dimension to it, as opposed to sort of going to mass every day along the Camino and going to churches and doing the sort of the set Catholic routine that perhaps was a lot more traditional. Now it's just a case of people want to go on this walk, they want to go and cycle, and they're open minded, and anything that comes to them, anything that comes to mind or anything that they experience or any kind of sort of spiritual or soulful journey, it comes to them organically, it comes to them naturally, it's a lot more people are open to it. So yes, that wasn't a very good explanation, I apologize, a lot more people doing it for spiritual reasons or cultural reasons as well, rather than just religious.
Okay, excellent. I think the thing that a lot of people don't understand until they actually do it is kind of the separation that you actually feel from your day-to-day life. And this is what allows you, I think, to get those inner journey type experiences and those reflections on life that you might have thought otherwise not possible. When you wake up in the morning and you've literally just got one goal in mind, it's to put one foot in front of the other until you get to the next town. I think we forget how many decisions we make in our day-to-day lives when we're just living a normal Monday to Friday.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's just, for most of us now, life is so fast-paced, and as you say, you don't really have time to deal with or process anything, you know, sort of a bit deeper. We don't have a lot of me time in your everyday life. Usually it's normally you get up and you go to work and you come back and then you repeat that, and then you've got a million other commitments besides that. And I think what people find really attractive about the Camino is that just you have a chance to leave all of your commitments behind temporarily and just go and have a bit of you time and go and slow down a little bit and just be with your own thoughts, process things you don't have time to process in your busy everyday life at home, and kind of refresh your perspective a little bit. I think that's really attractive for people, particularly people in places like London, where they're looking to just sign off for a while. They're into this rat race that they would like to escape or take a break from. That's quite a common thing that we find with people that come to us anyways. They're looking to just sign off for a while or deal with some kind of unprocessed baggage or clear their heads a little bit. And the Camino offers that better than most other experiences that you can have.
Of course. That kind of brings me nicely onto my next point. Have you done the Camino yourself?
So it's really embarrassing. I've done embarrassingly little, considering how much I sort of tell people and give advice to people. I've actually done barely anything. I've only done the first 2 weeks of the most famous and most popular route, which is called the Camino Francés, from a town called Saint-Jean-Pied-de-Port in the foothills of the Pyrenees, just on the French side of the border, and then to a city called Burgos. That was about 2 weeks. It was about 12 days of walking. That's the only section I've done, unfortunately. But obviously, I need to find time to go back and do the rest, as well as all of the other various routes in Spain and Portugal and France. But that's all I've done. All I've managed to fit in so far.
Well, that's the great thing about it, though, Freddie, as well, because it's not easy for people to take kind of 6-7 weeks out of their life and go walk the whole French way. I mean, for most people, especially professional people that we were just talking about that might want to go out, get a breather, get a bit of peace of mind, it's just not feasible. So what you're saying is you're kind of doing it in chunks, are you? Maybe 1 week or 2 weeks at a time.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that is sort of the only way for a lot of people that they can do it, because obviously a lot of these routes are very, very long. And, you know, you can do it for weeks at a time, for months at a time, even depending on where you're walking from. And it's such a rare thing to be able to take out that chunk of time from your life to go and do this thing and completely clear your diary of commitment. So, yeah, often the only way that people can experience it is doing it a chunk at a time, just a little section at a time, which is, you know, I think there are pros and cons to doing it each way. The nice thing about doing it in small sections is that obviously it prolongs the experience a bit more. So whereas one person might do it all in one go, say they're doing the Camino Francés, for example, and it's all over within 35 days and they have the most amazing time. But if you're doing it in sections, it's not necessarily an inferior way of doing it, because then it lasts for longer and you have it as part of your life and you're able to take each section at a time and kind of process that one at a time. And sort of, I find you remember it better. I find that people who do it bit by bit often remember each day better because they've kind of dealt with it in smaller chunks.
I totally agree with you. I have my ticket in my pocket for the Irish National Lottery tonight, and if I win that, you might see me out there for 6 or 7 weeks next year. But otherwise, I think I'll be joining you, Freddie, and I'll be doing it in the little chunks that I've been managing to fit in so far.
Which routes have you done?
I have done the French way from Sarria to Santiago. I did a little bit on the Portuguese coastal way, and I also walked from Lucca to Siena on the Via Francigena this year, which was a little bit different, but absolutely fabulous.
Oh, cool. Wow.
Yeah, so in terms of the Camino community in London itself, that it's super popular in Ireland here now. It's thriving. And obviously we saw such a boom from the US as soon as the film The Way came out. But it's been consistently growing since then. But in London, how big is the community? And is it continuing to grow, do you think?
Yeah, definitely. I think it's definitely growing. We're getting a bit more publicity of the Camino over here now. There was a BBC documentary earlier this year. Actually, one of the CSJ refuges featured on it. A lot of people have come to us off the back of that. But also, as sort of word of mouth spreads, as I said earlier, sort of people in places like London where everything is so fast-paced and busy, it really appeals to sort of London workers and London residents, because it's just sort of, even if they go away just for a week, it's just a chance to calm and slow down a little bit. London has a particular demographic that would benefit most from doing something like the Camino. We hold events, as I said. We hold open days every week. We hold wine bars every month. And the number of people that are coming to those is gradually increasing. So it's interesting. It'll be interesting to see sort of with a bit more time, how many more people that we get, and with exposure in like the press I feel like whenever I ask, whenever somebody asks me what I do for a living and I tell them about this Camino thing, almost everybody now says, oh, I know someone that's done that, or I know someone that's thinking of doing that. Whereas when I started, that wasn't the case at all. It was very much, never heard of that in my life. And that was even like 3 years ago that I started. So even in that short period of time, everybody that I talk to has heard of somebody that is doing it, or there have been a few famous people that have said they're going to do it. Like Brendan Foster recently said when he retired from sports commentary that he was going to go off and do the Camino de Santiago, I think Michael Portillo is doing a bit of it. So yeah, it's sort of it's getting into public consciousness a bit more now, and as I say, London I feel like is going to grip onto it maybe more than other places, because it offers something that so many Londoners yearn for.
Excellent. I think the great thing about the growing popularity of it is, as well, a lot of people doing it for the first time are kind of pushed into the French way because that's the one they've heard of. And that's fine. And the French way is brilliant. And it's a great, it's a super social experience if that's what you're looking for. But for anybody who's not done it before and they're kind of thinking to themselves, oh, well, it's really, really growing in popularity. I don't know, is it going to give me that escape that I want anymore? Because if the trails are going to be packed. Well, the Camino, there are so many routes on the network now that it's there's a kind of a Camino there for everybody.
Yeah, it's very true. And like, yeah, as you say, depending on what you're looking for in your Camino, it's nice that there's such a variety, there's such a diversity between if you wanted a really social experience, but some people really want, and like, there's a lot to be said for that, and they would like the idea of kind of walking in a group of people from day one till they arrive. And definitely the Camino Frances can offer that. But if they were looking for a bit more of a solitary experience, a bit more time with just their own thoughts, just by themselves, some people really like the idea of just walking for days on end without seeing any other people around, then there is still that possibility, definitely. If you look to routes like the one from Seville in the south of Spain, along what's called the Via de la Plata, that's a much less walked route, that offers a bit more, I guess, spirituality and a bit sort of, own your own time on that. And then there are heaps of I think much shorter. They're still like a week or two long. But even around the Camino Frances, there's ones like the Camino Invierno. There's the one called Camino San Salvador, which are all still around that landscape of northern Spain. And both of those are actually offshoots of the French way. But as soon as you step onto those offshoots, the people disappear and it becomes a whole different experience. So, it's a real range of experiences depending on what you're looking for, which is quite nice. And it's sort of part of our remit to make people aware of those, that it's not just the one route that you can do, which is often a misconception. Like everybody that's heard of the Camino knows of that one route, but I'd say a small percentage of those know that there is more than just one route, let alone that there are actually dozens. We try and sort of bring more attention to the lesser known routes, tell people about those, and people can make their own decisions based on what they're looking for.
Yeah, that's brilliant, and it's really good work you guys are doing. We have quite a lot of Galicians, Spaniards, and Portuguese here in our office in Dublin, and some of them are from the rural communities that the Camino passes through. And
Tara.
without the Camino, some of their villages and their communities would really struggle. The money that it brings to the region is really important for the locals.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's really important that we continue to make people aware of the other routes, and let's try and spread that wealth a little bit throughout Galicia and the rest of Spain.
Completely, completely, absolutely, yeah.
Excellent. So in terms of the confraternity again and what you guys are doing, how are you funded? Are you funded specifically through the guidebooks that you were talking about that you produced, or what way does it work?
Yeah, so I mean, most of our funding comes from our bookshop sales. We have a membership, as I said, so membership subscriptions as well, and just donations, really. That forms, yeah, the large proportion of where we get our funding from. It's important to us, obviously, that we try and reach as many people as possible for information purposes, but also just to sort of sustain ourselves and keep ourselves going. We are a charity, so we're not for profit. We are always looking to expand our reach as much as possible.
Okay, excellent. And if somebody's listening to this that is from the London area and is a big Camino enthusiast, are you guys looking for volunteers? And if so, how does someone become a volunteer, or what kind of skills would you be looking for from a volunteer?
Sure, yes. I mean, we're always looking for volunteers. For any aspect of running the organization, really, as I said, we are the majority of us are volunteers. I'm the only full-time member of staff here, but everybody else that does so much work are all volunteers. So we're always looking for people to do things like come in on open days and kind of talk to pilgrims and be the experts that answer people's questions and be yeah because you know we want to make sure that the information that we're disseminating is as up to date as possible it's the best thing when a pilgrim that we've helped out comes back having just finished and then they start answering people's questions with bang up to date information about hostels and rerouting and weather. And it's sort of a cyclical process in that way. So we're looking for volunteers for that. We look for volunteers to help us with sort of administrative side of things, like in our office. Anybody with kind of website experience. We operate quite a large encyclopedic website with lots of information on it, and obviously that information needs updating. So we rely on volunteers to sort of keep us in the loop and send us updates for the information that's on there, so it's still relevant and useful. We look for volunteers to help us with legal side of things as well and compliance side of things, anything really. And of course we always look for volunteers to help man our two hostels in Spain. So it's sort of I sort of marked it as like the ultimate way of giving something back to your experience. People, as I said earlier, often come back wanting to do something, wanting to keep the Camino as part of their life. And sort of I think the ultimate way of doing that is being able to go to a hostel, work in a hostel, and actually look after pilgrims on the Camino firsthand. It's so rewarding. It's such a satisfying thing to be able to do. So we're always looking for volunteers to do that. We recruit them, we train them, and then we send them off for 2 weeks at a time in small groups. And they have the pleasure of running a hostel. For any of those, if anyone is interested in volunteering for us or helping us out in any way with our kind of mission, all they need to do is just email me at the office. Details on our website. It's office@csj.org.uk. I'm the only one that picks those up. So if you're interested in any way of helping us out, then just pop us an email, and I'll be very happy to chat to you.
Okay, brilliant. Well, listen, thanks very much for talking to me today, Freddie. I'm afraid we've run out of time. I think we could probably talk about the Camino for another half an hour
Good, yeah,
or
clearly.
hour. Of course. That's all from us this week, guys. Don't forget you can subscribe to the podcast on whatever player you use. That's iTunes, Podcast, Pocket Casts, Downcast, whatever it may be. Just type Camino de Santiago into the search bar and tap that subscribe button to get weekly podcasts delivered straight to your phone. If you'd like to contact the confraternity to volunteer, as Freddie mentioned, or in fact to donate to them, please visit their website at csj.org.uk. And for more information on any of our walking or cycling tours, please contact the travel specialists at www.caminoways.com. As always, we will be delighted to hear from you.